You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We are awaiting the possibility of a Trump indictment. It would be the first criminal case filed against a former president, unprecedented in American history. And it all hinges on the alleged falsification of business records for a $130,000 payment to Stormy Daniels. We've heard from people like Nancy Pelosi and people on the left, and they say, oh, well, Donald Trump's not above the law. Well, sure, you know, I'd agree with that. No one's above the law, but he's also not below it. He's not the first person in America to pay someone off with an NDA, and he's certainly not going to be the last. We all know why they're doing this. They look at Trump as a trophy, and they're willing to burn down the country and the rule of law to try to get him. They've been pursuing this witch hunt from Donald Trump from the day that he announced his candidacy for presidency. They'll stop at nothing to try to get him. I mean, I don't have any faith in government anymore. Do you? They've corrupted the Department of Justice. They've corrupted the FBI. I don't believe there's an equal application of the law in this country. Certainly not out of the Manhattan DA's office. Not in New York City. We'll talk to former acting attorney general Matt Whitaker. He was the acting attorney general under President Trump about all of this, what he thinks about the case. We'll get into the details of the case, what you need to know about it. And also, what does this all mean for both former President Trump, but also the country moving forward? What sort of precedent does this set in America? So stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this conversation with Matt Whitaker. Matt Whitaker, it's been a while since we've caught up. I wish it was under different circumstances than this clown show that we're going to be talking about here.
Well, yes, I agree. You know, typically people called me on their worst possible days. And so, obviously you're not calling for legal advice. So that's good. But yeah, it's, what's going on right now with Donald Trump and the Manhattan DA is unprecedented. And it's a little crazy. I'm sure most people listening are just shaking their heads.
We're awaiting this possible indictment. This is the first criminal case that would be filed against a former president. Are they going to do it?
The inner workings of a grand jury are very interesting. We had Michael Cohen's former lawyer who went in on Monday, and I think maybe gave the prosecutor and his team a little bit of pause. I mean, ultimately, you have to get a supermajority of the grand jury to vote for the indictment. And your star witness is a convicted felon and somebody whose whole goal in life is to, get Donald Trump and to punish Donald Trump. I just don't think that makes a very attractive case, certainly to a trial jury, but I think even to a grand jury. If I'm, a citizen of this country and I'm looking at this fact pattern and I'm looking at all the legal jumps, which we'll talk about in a little bit, that they're going to have to make this case. I'm not sure there's a choice, Lisa, that you have either what they can vote in, either vote a true bill on the indictment, which means they vote to approve the indictment and the process moves forward, or they can no bill it. And it's very rare for a grand jury to no bill an indictment presented to them by a prosecutor. But it happens, and And it shows that they're actually engaged. I mean, it's often been said that a grand jury would indict a ham sandwich, and I don't necessarily agree with that extreme of case, but it's a very low bar. It's probable cause standard, not what, you know, again, we'll talk about later, the trial jury is going to have to consider, which is a beyond a reasonable doubt standard. So I think it's going to be a close call even to get an indictment tomorrow. And if they do get an indictment, I mean, it's going to be complete and utter chaos for a while.
You know, and we're talking about a grand jury in New York City, a liberal city. So what does that kind of grand jury look like?
Well, it's going to look like the citizens of New York City, the citizens of Manhattan. So it's going to skew left. You know, a lot of them are not, you know, big fans of Donald Trump. But I hope we're, Lisa, that we're not in a situation in our country where people just like lose their reason and common sense. You know, when I give closings at trials, I always talk to the jury about just, you know, that they did not check their reason and common sense at the door. And I think these grand juries certainly, the grand jurors can certainly use their reason and common sense to look at the facts and decide whether they think that's a crime. I think there's a lot of people that don't think it's a crime. Certainly a lot of people that don't think it's a felony. You know, whether or not he altered a business record, you know, that's a misdemeanor under New York law. And I don't see that the way they're trying to elevate this to a felony is going to be successful to me. Ultimately, we can get into that as well.
Yeah. You know, of course, the allegation is that there was a falsification of business records for this $130,000 payment to Stormy Daniels. From your legal perspective, does it look like a crime was committed here?
Yeah. I mean, and that's a great question. I mean, you know, sort of these, you know, that's going to be a question that the jury's going to have to wrestle with if it goes to trial, and that an appellate court is going to have to decide what the law is on that. Is, you know, is characterizing something as a legal fee this, you know, the same as a, you know, as a settlement expense? You know, I think that's probably a closer call than a lot of people maybe originally would think until they kind of consider it. You know, what this was for, you know, I mean, and then, you know, the what they're really trying to say is that it was a campaign expense. And I can tell you that, you know, while I was acting attorney general, the Southern District of New York looked at this fact pattern, this exact same fact pattern on the idea of a campaign finance violation. And they determined that it wasn't a campaign finance violation. And I'll tell you why. I think it's a really interesting question. First, a little history. You know, they tried to do this, you know, remember John Edwards paid, you know, his a fair partner, if you will, I don't know what you call it, but it was also on his campaign, a settlement out of his campaign fund, not his personal funds. And DOJ prosecuted John Edwards, and John Edwards was acquitted at trial. And it was pretty clear from that acquittal that, you know, some of these things, you know, a personal / campaign expense, you know, might not rise to that level of a campaign finance violation. But I will tell you this, what really is at the heart of this issue is this, is the idea of a settlement agreement, whether Donald Trump was intimate with Stormy Daniels. I believe President Trump, I don't think he was, but you know, either way, it doesn't matter for the purposes of what I'm going to explain. And that is that certainly in 2016, in the fall, he was running for president. He was a candidate. Certainly a settlement to keep somebody quiet from speaking out, you know, could be argued to, you know, have benefited his campaign, but not everything that benefits your campaign is a campaign expense. If you're a candidate and you go to lunch during a campaign stop and you pay for your own lunch, that's certainly not a campaign violation. And so, on the other hand, you know, it's also, a personal, expense. That, you know, because obviously it didn't just affect his campaign, it affected his personal life, it affected his relationship with his wife, relationship with his kids, relationship with his business. So this, at best, it's a combo personal and campaign expense. And under the law, that doesn't make it a campaign expense and therefore a violation of campaign finance law. And I can give you even a stronger argument, and that is that the Federal Election Commission looked at this exact same fact pattern as well, in addition to the Southern District of New York, and they also concluded that this was not a campaign finance violation. So, you know, in my mind, this is a very aggressive, and it takes this campaign finance violation, this felony, to get this, what was otherwise a misdemeanor we were talking about, this falsification of business records, to be elevated to a felony and therefore, you know, actually do some, you know, some real meaningful, you know, legal damage to, you know, the president.
Well, and campaign finance violations, you know, typically it ends up in a fine. I mean, New York City's mayor, Eric Adams, is currently facing likely fines for accepting legal campaign contributions, improperly accounting for them, and then also ignoring requests for documentation by state election authorities. Certainly don't think he's going to be facing a felony by Alvin Bragg. And that's really where this thing gets really dubious, is because let's say on its face, it would potentially be a misdemeanor, but the statute of limitations are up for a misdemeanor on this particular case with Trump. So they're reaching for a felony. And for that, I mean, they must prove beyond a reasonable doubt, not only did he intend, you know, declare, they have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he intended by this falsification of records to conceal the commission of another crime in the process. I mean, a felony here, I'm not an attorney, you are, but just from a common sense standpoint, it seems like a reach on what they're accusing him of.
It is. And the other thing is, you know, I'm not prone to whataboutism. I don't think it really furthers the argument very often, but in this case, it kind of
does. I do it sometimes. I'm not going to
lie. I know. But I mean, Hillary Clinton was fined for hiding the Fusion GPS research, the Russian collusion, you know, the dossier, as payments to a law firm. And certainly that's a falsification of a business record. And you don't see Alvin Bragg showing any interest in going after her for that crime, you know? So, and then, you know, we got this whole statute of limitations issue as well. So you got the felony issue that we're talking about right now. And then you have a statute of limitations challenge that's going to be very interesting how they contort themselves, because this, the alleged, you know, behavior happened 7 years ago, and the statute of limitations for even a felony is 5 years, misdemeanor is 2 years. That's clearly past time wise. And so, you know, I think this case, as we break it down, just becomes a huge leap to, you know, and under the guise of that they were just wanted to target Donald Trump and we're going to prosecute him no matter what.
And so you mentioned for the felony, they're trying to say, as my understanding is, that because he's been outside of the state of New York, that somehow that like pauses the statute of limitations for the felony charge. Is that correct? I forget what it's exactly called.
So my actual understanding of their argument is that the payments to Michael Cohen were over a couple of years, and that they're barely within, the last payment is within that 5 years. I think that I haven't heard the extra jurisdictional argument. Maybe there's one, that's one as well. But I read a nice piece by your colleague, Andy McCarthy, or maybe it was Jonathan Turley. One of them wrote kind of a breakdown of sort of this idea of how to get within the 5 years and still believe that it was a little speculative to try to get it within that window of 5 years.
Because I thought I was reading an article from him as well, and I forget what it was called, but there's like a certain word for it that they can. But anyways,
well, you can toll the statute.
Toll. That was the word.
Told,
yep.
Right.
Yes.
I it's going to be a novel theory under New York law. Usually if you're just in another state, that's not. I mean, if you're out of the country, it might toll, but in another state, I'm not familiar with that because. But again, this is, they're going to use every aggressive technique to try to, you know, prosecute Donald Trump. It's pretty clear to me right now.
Well, but I mean, it seems like even in this conversation, even trying to come up with what they would possibly do, I mean, we're even reaching and trying to figure out how they would reach. So it's like, you know,
right.
and they have to get to a point of beyond a reasonable doubt here. And so I just feel like if we're even having, you know, trouble trying to figure out, you know, how they're reaching, I mean, how do they reach that standard?
I don't know. I've found myself in trying to explain this whole situation several times, just resorting to the "I don't know" because it doesn't make any sense. It's unprecedented. So we're in brand new, uncharted territory. And at the same time, you know, some of these legal theories and ideas that they're trying to use just don't make any sense to me. And you know, again, I'm used to. Where you bring a case because you not only believe in the case, but it's one of your priorities. It helps your community, you're certain of that you're gonna have a really good chance of winning the case or getting a plea. This seems like completely the opposite of all those tenets. It's not going to help the citizens of Manhattan at all. It's certainly not making their lives better, and at the same time, it just does not seem like the chance of winning this case is at best a coin flip. I think it's actually worse than that. I think the probability is probably less than 20% that they can actually get this to a conviction that'll stick.
Quick commercial break. More with Matt Whitaker.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
You hear people like Nancy Pelosi and the left, and they say, oh, well, you know, Trump isn't above the law. You know, sure, I agree that no one's above the law, but he, mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
But
totally
he's not below it either, you know, and he's not exactly below the equal application of the law. And it's hard to imagine that if this was just, you know, any other person, even any other political candidate, that they would be trying to reach for a felony or even trying to potentially indict that individual on this.
I completely agree with you. I think this there's been some speculation that this would cause a quote unquote war. But you're going to see, I'm worried, if this is successful, that there is going to be a real desire, for, let's just say it, for revenge, for the right and their prosecutors to start targeting the left. And I don't think that should be done. I don't think it should be done on either side. I don't think there should be a targeting of individuals by the state. And that's unfortunately what the Democrats appear to want. I mean, they just continue to pursue this path. And I don't think they're going to end with Donald Trump. I mean, I just think all conservatives and certainly all, you know, high profile political office holders and, you know, pundits are fair game in Alvin Bragg's and George Soros and the liberal left's worldview. And, you know, I guess to some extent, you know, it's just like all other lawfare. It's just one of the tools in the battle between the sides. But it's when we make the political criminal, I think we all lose. And I think our founding fathers would be very concerned about what's happening right now.
Well, and what's worrisome too is, I mean, look, the left looks at Trump like a trophy. You know, they're all trying to get that trophy to get him. But, you know, in the process, they've set the country on fire. You know, I mean, they've destroyed the rule of law. They've corrupted the FBI. They've corrupted the Department of Justice. Americans have no faith in institutions or government anymore. So in the process of trying to get Donald Trump since 2016, they've destroyed the country in the process.
Isn't that what Marxists do ultimately? I mean, you know, they undermine the institutions and they, you know, they they're always quick to, you know, point the finger at those of us on the right and suggest that somehow we started or we did it. I mean, I think trying to, you know, sort of dismantle the permanent, bureaucratic state is actually a good goal. I don't think there's any reason we shouldn't start having serious discussions about moving the government out of Washington, D.C. and into the states, you know, distributing the government to the people instead of consolidating power within one national capital. I think we need to really roll up our sleeves and rethink how we get back to these basic and fundamental tenets of our founding, you know, our constitutional separation of powers, not only between the three branches of federal government, but between the federal government and the states. And I think we also need to look at the rule of law. I think we need to look at how we can make these powerful position that prosecutors have accountable, and especially when you have these places like Manhattan, where it's just one party rule. It's destabilizing our country, and it's also distracting our country. At least, so this is what I worry about. You know, we got massive banking challenges. We have serious national security challenges. China and Russia and North Korea, we have alliances with other countries that they're begging us to engage and protect and work with them. I'm thinking of Australia and Japan. India are prime examples of that. The world is not a safe place, and the United States has to lead. And right now, Joe Biden and the Democrats, it's a clown show, and all they want to do is prosecute Donald Trump. It's really sad.
Well, and in part, that might be why they're doing it, you know, as well, to try to distract from the fact that, you know, the country is falling apart at its seams right now. And to your point, centralization of government that has taken place has, you know, destroyed the country. You know, what happens to a country when you lose the rule of law, which is the direction we're heading in America right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's not good. I mean, because then it becomes, essentially what you have in China, where there's a powerful elite that decide everything. You know, they decide what the law is. They decide who the law applies to and who the law doesn't apply to. And then there's obviously a consolidation of power and wealth among those people in control. It's not good. But, you know, this is what... You know, Democrats would always love to take other people's money and pretend like they're wealthy.
Well, and that's the thing. They push things like, you know, socialism. But, you know, all that really does is empower the elite. So if you're Bernie Sanders, you're fine. You're part of the ruling class. It's everyone else that gets screwed. Let's say that this goes down. You know, Trump is indicted. What sort of legal recourse does he have in all of this to try to continue to fight it? What's the process there?
Knowing Donald Trump as I know him, he's going to fight with everything he has. I hope he's got a good team of lawyers. I know some of them. I don't know all of them. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of motions. If he's indicted, there's going to be a lot of motions. And those motions, if they're denied or could be appealed, depending on what the characterization is. And then, you know, there's obviously potentially federal appeals that could be done, especially in this campaign finance area we were discussing earlier. And so there's going to be a lot of twists and turns to this and a lot of opportunities for us to talk about it, Lisa. So I look forward to coming back on the future.
It seems like it's potentially inevitable, but, and also I think one of the concerns too is, you know, they've tried to make working for Trump so toxic. Can he get great legal help right now?
Yeah. I mean, certainly I think that has been a challenge for him, is to find really good people that, are willing to, I guess, you know, put everything on the line to defend the rule of law. But I think, you know, again, I think the guy certainly working on the special counsel's investigation is a great lawyer. And I think there will be others. And there's plenty of, you know, good lawyers in New York City that could help him on this case. And so I think he'll find the right person. But his fighting spirit is indomitable. And so I think that, you know, that will be good in the long term.
If he is indicted, what are the next steps then that he would be facing in the process?
Well, so if he's indicted, the next steps are a arrest warrant will be issued or a notice to appear. If Alvin Bragg has any class, he will just give him a notice to appear. There will then be, you know, the initial appearance, the processing, which involves mugshot, fingerprinting, and the like. And then there will be a trial schedule set and a discovery order that's put in place to for the government to turn over all the evidence that they have in their possession and all exculpatory evidence as well. And then, you know, we just head to trial. You know, I think there'll be a lot of motions, like I said, a lot of appeals in the middle of all that. And then ultimately, we'll go, you know, there'll be a plea or a trial. I don't expect that this will be a plea. But, you know, again, we'll just each moment provides just a really interesting, unprecedented moment in American history that we'll, you know, tell our children, our grandchildren about.
It's just, I don't know. It doesn't even feel like America anymore. It's just, it's really sad to see all this happen. It just feels like our country's almost lost. Matt Whitaker, Liberty and Justice with Matt Whitaker is your podcast. Is there anything you'd like to leave us with before we go?
Everybody needs to participate in our republic. We can't just all stand by the sidelines. We need to all find a way to get involved, no matter, again, your political persuasion at all. I just think we all need to participate in civic life. And I think that's what our founding fathers expected. And I think we all need to live up to that in our own way.
Well, I appreciate it, Matt. I know you're a busy guy. Everyone wants to talk to you. I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. Hope to catch up with you soon under better circumstances.
My pleasure, Lisa. Look forward to talking to you soon.
So that was Matt Whitaker, a former acting attorney general under former President Donald Trump. You know, tough conversation, right? This is some depressing stuff, but it's happening. So, you know, we got to talk about it and we have to cover it. I appreciate you guys for listening to the show every Monday and Thursday, but you can listen throughout the week. I want to thank John Cassio, my producer, for putting it together. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating, a review. We always love reading those. Until next time, thanks so much for listening.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.